Allison Sedgwick.
Very cool.
And now that my mouth isn't full very much, thank you, Ryan, for the pizza.
Do you need me to talk longer so you can keep
No, okay. One more swallow and I'm ready to go. All right, well, it's always good to be coming and hanging out at Central because, well, it's just cool to be here. And I actually found parking this week, so that was a bonus. I was very happy about that. And I'm in a place where I won't get a ticket. Last time I came back to one of those lovely yellow pieces of paper, and I was like, oh, seriously. But that's okay. Toronto obviously needs my money more than I do. So that type of a statement is kind of what we're going to talk about a little bit today. We're going to talk about perspectives, and we're going to look at godly perspectives on things over maybe the next couple weeks, maybe just today. But one of the things that, if I stand right here, do I echo?
Get closer to the mic. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Mics are different than our church, but it's all good. I'll figure it out. One of the things with an encounter is, you know, you go through some inner healing, which I'm going to talk about, but it's changing your perspective and your countenance on how you see things. And so I need like three people that can catch something. There's three people that can... Somebody's got the one over here. Sorry. Part of being able to catch is being able to throw. And here, John. One more on this side. It's Ziploc, so it's all good. Okay, so what's in the bags? It's the same thing in all of them. So I don't know. What's your name?
Amy.
Amy? What's in your bag? Water and dirt? John, what's in your bag?
Chocolate icing.
Chocolate icing? Okay, maybe not quite. Don't taste it. I don't want to give it away. What's in your bag over here?
It looks like Oreos with water on it.
Oreos with water on it. I live in a condo, so all we have are planters. This is the closest thing to dirt that I could get. So what's in the bags is kind of like, it's mud. Right? Let's call it what it is. Dirt and water together makes mud. And as we go through life, we all see things differently. You know? It starts when we're conceived. And they say that, like, from the time that we're 6 weeks old in the womb, we begin to hear things. And that just begins our whole life on how we react and entertain certain situations. Has anybody heard of, like, your developing years? Has anybody said that to you before where, oh yeah, that's probably something that you picked up in your developing years? Well, that's like from the time that you're zero. From the time you're born to the time you're 5 years old are stated as your developing years. And that's the time that you pick up a lot of your habits that carry you all the way through into like old age and death. And so we pick these things up, and every time that we either get emotionally hurt, that we learn something new, that we see something happen to somebody else, all of these things affect the way that we see things, and they adjust our perspective. And they begin to set kind of this filter over our eyes of how we see life, how we see each other, how we see situations, how we see circumstances, and ultimately how we see God. And so for some of the folks that were at the encounter, do you feel as though you see God a little bit more clearly now than you did last week? Or before you went? You know, that's one of the really big things that we look at on encounter is healing some of those life hurts that affect the way that we see things because it alters our perspective. And so let's just start with the word of prayer. God, right now I ask that you would help us to have a godly perspective and that we would just hear clearly what we're going to hear today. Papa, I ask for myself that you would help me to share everything that's on your heart. Because Dad, that's what this time's all about. It's about hearing from you. So Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you clean out our ears, and would you peel the layers off of our eyes so that we can see what you're showing us today? In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I'm one of those kind of guys that's like very analytical. That's how my perspective goes. I like to research, I like to look into things. And so I hit the dictionary and the Bible a lot when I'm talking about different things because I like to have reference points. That's just kind of me. So we're gonna start with, okay, so all of my biblical references come from BibleGateway.com. I use different translations, and all of my dictionary definitions come from Merriam-Webster, also online. So the definition of perspective in the noun form is the interrelation in which a subject or its parts are mentally viewed. Places, issues, property. It's a point of view and the capacity to view things in their true relation or relative to their importance based on how we see them. So over the next, some of the things that we're gonna be looking at, or I guess the only thing we're looking at today is health. And in the future, there's potentially gonna be talks on finances and relationships and how God looks at them. And so what we're gonna spend a little bit of time on today is how we see things, and that's why I wanted to start with the mud, right? Because either way, whether it's Oreos and water or it's chocolate icing, it's made up of physical parts that create something different. So now we're going to look at how God sees mud. And if you happen to have your Bibles, we're going to start right in Genesis 1. And when I started getting ready for this message, I couldn't get off Genesis 1, really, because thinking of it from the way I was thinking of it was so awesome. I just kept reading the whole chapter over and over, trying to cross some lines out. But the whole thing takes 5 minutes to read, so we're actually going to read through the whole thing. So it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form, and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, and that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And he called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters under which the firmament from the waters which were also above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, Let the waters under the earth, or under the heavens, be gathered together into one place, and let dry land appear. And it was so. And there we have dirt. And God said, Let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself life upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herbs yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. So now God created perpetual life by creating seeds. And God said, Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let there be signs for the seasons and for the days and for the years. And let them be lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night, and he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth, and to rule the day, and to rule the night, and to divide the light from the dark, and God saw that it was good. And God, okay, so here's where we get into it a little bit here. And God said, Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged bird after its own kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply on the earth. And that was the fifth day. Then we're going to skip to where it says, we'll just keep going here, because it's only right there. And God said, Let the earth bring forth the living creatures after its kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps he made. And God saw that it was good. And then God said, Let us make man in our own image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. It's pretty much everything. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and the fowl of the air, and every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and everything that creeps on the earth where there is life, I have given every green herb for its meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So, in basically a ball of mud, God saw the sun, he saw the moon, he saw the stars, he saw plants, he saw life, he saw fish, and he saw us. You know, God's perspective was to see abundant life everywhere, to see replenishing life everywhere. You know, he could have just made, like, Legoland. You know, it could have just been one set of trees, one set of buildings, little men that kind of stood still. You know, could have done all different kind of things. But he chose to, I'm glad Jimmy found that funny. But he chose to make life that perpetuated itself. And then he even went on to talk about, you know, plants are for humans to eat, and plants are for the animals to eat. And he kind of differentiated, you know, the meat of the plants that had seeds in them was for humans, and the herbs were for animals, cattle, and things like that. And he just went, and he just created this whole ecosystem out of what we saw as a bag of dirt, or chocolate icing, or Oreo cookies. But God's perspective was so alive. And so what I'm going to be talking about is health, and how health, you know, how God designed health for us to be alive. And so, like I said, I like to boil things down so I can understand the meaning. And so the definition of health is the condition of being sound in body, mind, and spirit, especially freedom from physical disease or pain. Okay? Is that a definition of health that everybody can deal with? How we're physically feeling, how our body is doing, is kind of what health boils down to for us as humans. And it's like the second most active conversation starter in the world today. They say the first one is like talking about the weather, and the second one is saying, how you doing? You know, how are you started out as kind of like a health statement, because back in like whenever it came up, the earliest time they saw that actual how you doing was in the 1800s, but they say it was like, because if you had the plague or something, you'd say, oh, I'm sick, or I'm not feeling well, and people would be like, oh, that's cool, I'm going to go shopping now. You know, they would use that almost as like an avoidance tactic to stay away from sickness. But that's one of the things that we're constantly speaking out is, how are you? We're interested in people's health. We're interested in how they're doing. We hear that somebody's sick and we say, you know, how are you feeling? And so even though we don't always realize it, we put that as an important social aspect. But would you not say that your health is probably one of the most important things to you as a person? Like, I know if I'm sick, it kind of ruins my world. And if my wife is sick, it ruins my world a little bit more. And so these are things that we put importance on how we're doing mind, body, and soul. And so it talks about being free from injury and disease. I have a really good definition on disease here. Ah, yes. Disease, when they first started defining words in the 1300s, was defined as the lack of peace. You know, so if sickness and disease are the biggest contributors to not being in good health, is defined as the lack of peace. You know, God came to bring peace on earth, right? That's what Jesus was for. That's what Jordan was talking about today when he was saying that he felt peace here. So for our health and for who we are, peace is a very important buildup to what we do. So let's turn in our Bibles to John 14. And in John 14, verse 25, I'm going to use the New Living Translation. Jesus is speaking, and he's saying, I am telling you these things now while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate, who is the Holy Spirit, as my representative, he will teach you everything and remind you of everything that I have told you. I am leaving you with a gift of peace of mind and peace of heart. And the peace I give is a gift that the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Okay? The biggest fear out there that I see is your health. You know, personal story. My wife had heart surgery 2 years ago because they discovered that she had a hole in her heart. And, you know, when you're in your 30s, a hole in your heart can be a pretty serious deal, especially if you're a woman. It means you can't have kids. It means your body can't, you know, process change, can't process alcohol effectively, can't digest fat properly. Like, there's all these physical ramifications of having really anything wrong with your body. And what do we do? As human, or as our culture, we usually go to the doctor and say, hey, I've got a symptom, you know, something's wrong with me, how can you help me? And what we're doing is we're asking the doctor to give us a chemical to change the chemistry in our body to balance us out. Does that make sense to everybody? You know, you have a headache, you take a Tylenol, so you're really taking like a little chemical compound, a little chemical mixture that somebody at Procter & Gamble or wherever mixed up to help something that's wrong with your head. And so this is something that we do, and what God's saying in, or back in the day when they first talked about sickness and disease being a lack of peace, Jesus is saying, I came to solve that, right? And so when we talk about healing, and we talk about physical healing, you know, peace is the exponential, or what's a good word to describe what peace is in that situation? You know, peace is the ramification, what can solve that problem, right? If we're looking, when Jesus comes to heal something, he's coming to bring peace to that area. So whether it's a headache, whether it's a family situation, right? Family difficulties also lead to headaches. You know, we all know it's true. But when peace comes to a situation, it stills our heart, it stills our body, and it brings it to that place where it can recover. Because you know what? Your bodies are amazing. Each of our bodies are made to be able to regenerate itself. And so when we kind of look at physical ailments, there's really practical things that can be used to help accomplish that health, and we're going to look at a couple of those. So the first healing that we're actually going to look at, we're going to look at some biblical healings that happened. And the first one is Jesus' first healing. Okay, does everybody know or remember what Jesus' first miracle is?
First miracle. Wine.
Yeah, the first miracle was turning water into wine, right? Jesus was at a wedding party. They run out of wine. Jesus' mom, being the mom that she is that wants to help everything out, goes to the guys running the party and says, hey, my son can take care of the situation, whatever he says, do it. Right? And so Jesus turns the water into wine, and the party kind of keeps going. Now, there's so much more to that story than that, but we're going to look at Jesus' first healing. Because, you know, the water into wine is very popular. But what was Jesus' first healing? Does anybody know? What's that? Among the guy's eyes. Jesus' first healing is found in John 4, verse 34 and 54. And so this is when Jesus is really just out for a walk with his guys. And on his way home, a man stopped him and asked Jesus to come to his house before his son passed away. And Jesus said, go home, your son is alive and well. And when we look at the whole story, the man's servant actually ran to meet him on the road and said, you know, sir, your son is alive and well. And the man goes, about what time did this happen? And the servant says, at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And the guy thinks back, and that was the exact time that Jesus told him to go home. Right? And so that man had peace in his heart. He had faith that Jesus had healed his son. And he was able to go home and then find out the testimony from his servant that God had healed his son, right? And so when we're looking at this story, Jesus' first big miracle, or his first healing, was fixing whatever was wrong with this little boy who could have even been dead. Bringing the faith level up, not only for everybody that heard the story, but for the family and for that community. And so we look at healings. Healings are meant to be testimonies. And the reason I'm talking kind of a little bit about healing and health is because, you know, we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that wasn't the world that Adam and Eve lived in, right? And so there are sicknesses and there's disease and there's everything out there that affects our physical bodies. And what Jesus is saying here is he's saying no matter what's wrong, we can take care of it. Because sickness is largely, right now, sickness is very influential on how we look after ourselves, right? Would you guys say that each one of us is responsible for our own health? Right, that's a pretty honest statement. A couple of weeks ago, was everybody here a couple Sundays ago when did you guys share that word from Dr. Arnie?
2 weeks ago.
When Noelle shared a little bit of a video 2 weeks ago from when Dr. Arnie Elson was at the airport campus? one of the things that Dr. Arnie talks about is he talks about how if we lived like it talked that we were supposed to live in the Bible, that we wouldn't be sick or that we wouldn't have disease. And so his big thing, he's a German guy, a little bit hard to understand sometimes, but his main point is that if we would do what the Bible says, we would constantly be living in a state of health. And so what he boils it down to is the discipline that it comes to that comes from living in health. And so would everybody say that it takes discipline to live in health? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So some of the things that break down what discipline of living a healthy lifestyle would be. Does anybody have some ideas on what that would be?
Exercise?
Yeah. Maintaining a good physical form would be a good one. What's another one?
Sleeping.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I went to school in California, studied social sciences, and psychology was one of those courses that you have to take that you don't really want to take, right? Anybody have to take those courses in school? Seriously. Man, I wanted to take like my business ed courses, I wanted to take my marketing classes and be done with school. I had to take like psychology, sociology, and yet I remember more out of those courses than anything else. So pay attention to the lame classes, they might help you out later in life. But so my psychology teacher made us go through this study that happened in the 80s that studied sleep. And it shows that people that are adults that slept an average of 8 or more hours a night reduced their opportunity for sickness, cancer, and disease by 75%. Okay? I live in a world that's very busy. If I get 8 hours of sleep, I'm a really happy guy. If I get 8 hours of good sleep, my next day is even better. But most of the time, I average like 6 or 7. And so one of the practical things, exactly, is a very good one, is sleeping. What's another one?
Eating.
Okay? What you put in your mouth matters. Does anybody know anywhere in the Bible where it talks about the food you eat being important?
Daniel?
Yes, we are going to do the Daniel story. But we're going to start just before the Daniel story in Leviticus 11. Okay? So a lot of people talk about the Old Testament being the law. It's a bunch of rules. It's a bunch of things that we should do that kind of are going to make the people of Israel's lives better in honoring God, right? So Leviticus chapter 11 is all about the foods that you can and cannot eat, right? So it says that you're supposed to eat plants. It says that you're supposed to eat animals that chew cud and have a cloved hoof, that you're not supposed to eat certain types of birds, that you can eat certain types of birds. You can eat fish with scales and fins, but you can't eat fish with fins and without scales, right? So basically you're not supposed to eat like whales and dolphins and stuff like that. So, you know, but they break it all down and it goes through what you should and what you shouldn't eat. And eventually it got to the place where there were so many rules and that the people that lived under those rules ended up being more prosperous than the people that didn't. Right? And so God had these laws for things to eat because back then they didn't have scientists, they didn't have labs to tell them which was the best kind of food, which was the worst kind of food. They really just listened to God. And so one of the things of being in health is just listening to God and what He says about what you should put in your body. And I know that it can seem like a little bit of a, I don't know, like a little bit of a needy thing, but we're supposed to be constantly reliant on God. And so if we're looking to Him, even for the little things of what we put into our bodies, that's going to make such a difference in our physical health. And so that's what the people of Israel did. That's what the Jews did. They listened to what God said they should eat. And we're going to look in Daniel chapter 1 at what God said, or at kind of an example of that. And so in Daniel 1, basically Daniel's been recruited by the country that overtook his to be one of the smart guys, right? He's going to be in the king's court, and so he's going to university for 3 years to study the laws of the land, to study astronomy, and to eventually be an advisor to the king. And part of his university degree includes a meal plan. Right? He gets to eat at the king's table, he gets to drink the king's wine, he gets to eat the king's food, which is the best food in the whole country. And Daniel says, hey, you know, this is different from what God told my people to eat. And so I want to eat Jewish food. And they're like, no, you have to eat from the king's table. And so Daniel had a pair, and he said, you know what, here's what we're going to do. So in Daniel chapter 1, he said to his overseer, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink, and then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with that, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he agreed and tested them for 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. Okay? So that's pretty cool. That's like God's Law 101 with a practical application. Daniel believed in God so strongly that he knew that if he just, and it goes on to say that they only drank water, and that's known as the Daniel diet, right? If you've ever heard of that before. And so one of the things they talk about is really just drinking water and eating vegetables, because even, you know, however long ago Daniel's time period was, these guys were living healthier than all the people that were eating the choice foods of the day. And the way that our systems work today, vegetables and water are hands down the best things that we can drink. And this is going to be a tough one to say in this crowd, but coffee and alcohol are not good beverages for your system. Okay? Regardless of what culture says, the beans, the hops, that everything that's put in those, you know, coffee and alcohol are both dehydrants, and they're diuretics, meaning they help you poo, and they help take water out of your system. And so if you want to see some research notes, you can see me afterwards. But when it boils down to it, the only good things that come out of coffee and wine are the antioxidants that are found in the fruits and the vegetables that make it up anyhow. But when it goes through the process of adding different things, it ends up sucking the life out of that and turning it into stuff that actually takes life out of your own system. And so I got to have this discussion with my wife today before I came. But honey, I've read so many times that a glass of wine a day is good for you. And so I did my little research on what a glass of wine actually is. And yes, they did find that people that drank a glass of wine a day had less symptoms showing for cancer and things like that. But they couldn't prove that it was the wine that was actually causing them to be better, right? So it was just one of those things that was kind of like in correlation of, not a direct action to. And like I said, I went to school in California, so I'm just going to switch to my favorite note here, where, so I was in athletics, I was actually in track, and one of the big things that we would do is our athletics team would sponsor parties for all of the track meets that would happen. So we'd always like have a big get together, have tons of kegs, all this other kind of good stuff, except none of our athletes would drink. Okay? So we'd have a big party, we'd invite everybody else, free beer, free whatever, and we would be drinking water and Gatorade. And it's because of, you know, our kinesiology department did an amazing study on how the effects of alcohol take 48 hours to leave your system. And here's some of the things that alcohol can affect for 48 hours. It's a diuretic, so after drinking you may become dehydrated, said Stephen Rice, MD, director of the Jersey Shore Sports Medicine Center. And who ended up becoming... Okay, it said Jersey Shore, but it's actually a real place. But the bottom line was, to stay hydrated, you had to drink 3 times as much water. And so in order to counterbalance athletic performance the next day, if we could encourage people to get dehydrated less than 48 hours before they had to race, and we were all hydrated, it was kind of a win, right? And so these are things when you're in your own life, when you have to go to work, when you have to go to school, you can actually stay more focused and concentrated when you're properly hydrated. Alcohol depletes your electrolyte system and potassium with sodium. That's the exact same things that coffee takes out of your system is potassium. Potassium are very important for your eyes, and basically it's better for your eyes to be shut than to be open when you're resting, so try to sleep in a dark place. But bananas, you know? Bananas are the win for your potassium cycle. And when you're going through these things though, when you're looking at like kind of what are some of the best fruits and vegetables that you can get into your system to help counteract negative things that are in your body, bananas is actually going to be one of the best ones. So just when you're looking at what you're going to put in your body, think of what it's doing to your body and actually do some research on it to see where it's going to go. Because that's one of the things that Dr. Arnie Olsen was talking about, was the discipline that comes through pursuing your health, right? Because when God called us to this earth, he brought us here for a plan and a purpose. And one of the So one of the practical things of why God cares about our hearts, who we are, and our bodies, is because he brought us here for a plan and a purpose. He didn't just bring us here to have fun for 80, 90, 120 years. He brought us here for a reason. And so God takes great concern in our health, and that's why he sent his son Jesus. Right? Because by bringing Jesus, he could bring the Holy Spirit, and he could release, you know, he could release himself to be everywhere at the same time. And by bringing Holy Spirit, you know, Holy Spirit lives inside of each one of us. And that gives us the power and the authority to heal. To heal, to pray for ourselves, and to pray for each other. And that's part of what makes us the body of Christ, is when we're feeling sick, you know, you can call Jordan, you can call the person next to you and be like, hey, I'm not feeling so well. Can you pray for me? And that just enacts the spiritual realm, because God cares so much about you being healthy. A verse that kind of backs that up is in John 10:10, that the thief comes not to, or the, why can't I read this here? The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus came to bring eternal life, and that we can have life abundantly. Okay? I kind of mixed context there a little bit, but that's why Jesus came, so that we could have life abundantly. And our health is part of our life. And so this God that looked at a pile of mud and saw sunshine, rainbows, you know, absolutely everything that we see and enjoy in this world, that he saw each one of us, he wants us to have life abundantly. And so he sent Jesus so that we could be healed. Because when Jesus was on this earth near the end of his life, right, Jesus had a pretty rough end. It was amazing getting to hear the healings, to see the sick just absolutely be transformed. But when it came time for Jesus to go to heaven, for Jesus to, you know, leave this earth, he went through some pretty rough stuff. And when the people were against him, they whipped him and they beat him. And, you know, the scriptures state that by his stripes we were healed. And so because Jesus came and because he was bruised and he was beaten, that was for us. That was for each one of our healings. And so while Jesus was completely human and completely God, his human side bled for us so that we could experience that health and that freedom. And so for us, one of the things that we can do is we can honor God and we can honor Jesus by walking out in our health as best as we can. So I'm going to jump over this part here real quick. All right. Anybody who watches the news is able to see that, like, heart attacks, cancer, all different types of diseases are on the rise, right? And so science is pointing that overwork, mental stress, and physical deconditioning are one of the leading causes of our society to become less sick and less old than it has ever been. We're facing medical complications that our grandparents and even our parents didn't face. The 2000 to 2020 is going to be a very trying time for our era in how we deal with each of these new diseases. And this was MD Stephen H. Hatcher of... I didn't paste where he was from. Copy and paste only works if you take the whole article. But what I kind of read into that was that, you know, we can all work a lot, right? We have our tablets, we have our cell phones, we're always on the go. Stress can be on the rise. And one of the really big things that we see Jesus doing to deal with stress is Jesus got away. You know, even when Jesus was most successful, that we see in the Bible, in Mark, Luke, and John, there were always these stories of Jesus stealing away to spend time with God. And I had a really big talk with my dad, who's a senior pastor since I was, like, in the womb, I think. And I was like, you know, Dad, what's the deal with Jesus always getting away? Because for me, sometimes, if I'm around a lot of people, I'm like, okay, I can't really talk to you right now because I need to go hang out with myself. You know, I can be a little bit selfish like that, but hey, it's what I gotta do. And I was like, is that what Jesus is seeing here? Is Jesus getting away to get with God? Is that like a mix between his soul and his flesh and his spirit all connecting to God? And the way that my dad kind of put it back to me was really cool, because while Jesus was completely human, everything that he did lined up with the will of God because he was always looking to the Father. And so if he was always looking to God and God was telling him to go take a break, Jesus would find a way to take a break. And so one of the practical things that we can do to help, you know, to chase after our own health is to make sure that we're taking some breaks. You know, it's great to do stuff, it's great to go to school, it's great to be busy, but our body needs to take breaks. And what breaks can do is they can give our mind a break, which can lead to reduced stress, which can lead to reduced sickness, which basically leads to a healthier lifestyle. And in 1 Corinthians, one of the things that really struck me was that, you know, our bodies is God's house too. You know? And so it says here, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own, you are bought at a price, and therefore honor God with your body." And so one of the things that I wrote here was one of the perspectives that God cares for our body is because it's his house. And so when you're looking at why does God care about my body? That's one of the things to really look at, is God cares about your body is because he lives in it. Let's look at one more here. And then one of the things that we talked about a little bit too was that God cares about your body because he has a plan and a purpose for your life. And just to put some scriptures to that, Jeremiah 29:11, right? That's the pretty famous verse that he knew me when I was in my mother's womb, that he has a plan and a purpose for my life, right? So those are things to always consider. And part of his plan is in Mark 16, where Jesus is talking about the Great Commission. And he says, "Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth shall be baptized and shall be saved, and he that doesn't shall be damned." And if God's plan is for us to go into all the world, you know, this, we're called the army of God. We're called the family of God, the community of Christ, right? Whatever you put on it, we're not called to be on the bench. We're the first line. These are the things that we're meant to do. And if we're constantly hung up being sick, we don't have the opportunity to do the things that God's put on our hearts, that he's put in our life for us to accomplish. And so those are some of the lifestyle things that we can look at. But when you boil it down to it, God has a plan. He has a purpose for you. And your body is what's going to get you there. And so while God cares about what he can do through your body, he also cares about you as a person. He cares about your heart. And so when you're looking at physical things from Christ's perspective, from how God sees it, you're like, you know what? It is worth it to think of these things, to live on this. And so I'm going to just kind of give you a couple of verses to look at home, if you're interested, so that you can kind of see the perspective of health. So in Matthew 8, is a lot where Jesus talks about healing. He heals everything from headaches to demons, mental illness. Why does Jesus care about this? Because Jesus was called to heal the sick and to heal everybody. Okay, so when it comes down to our health, health is based in healing. And that's really what we want to see, right? We want to see each of our brothers and sisters in Christ walking in wholeness, walking in truth, and walking in everything that God has for them. But like I said before, we can't do that if we're sick. So let's all stand together, and we're just going to kind of pray into this not being sick. Because when the world was first created, God didn't come to heal because people weren't sick, right? He designed us to not be sick. He designed us to have perfect health. So is there anybody right now that's sick, that has something physically wrong with them that could be better? Yeah, most of us have. So what we're going to do is we're going to put our hand on the area that bugs us. You know? So for me, sometimes it's my stomach. I'll have some stuff going on. So wherever you're sick, just put your own hand there. We're going to pray for each other, but we're also going to pray for ourselves. Yeah, so Holy Spirit, we just welcome you into this space right now. And Father, we thank you so much for caring about each one of us, that you have a plan and a purpose for us. And God, we just thank you so much that even when you knit us in our mother's womb, that you saw us and that you created us to have a way to be healed. You sent your son Jesus, who died on the cross, so that Holy Spirit could come and be inside each one of us. So that God could be inside each one of us through his Holy Spirit. And so, Papa, right now, with some of these scriptures we read, we saw that Jesus healed the sick. so that they could walk in health. So right now, for each area of our bodies, for each one of us that's walking in sickness, we just ask your healing to come right now in Jesus' name. Kingdom of heaven, would you come and touch each area that needs a touch from you? You know, just under your breath, we have this prayer that we pray at church or at our church that talks about the freedom that Jesus brings. And it says, just kind of say it with me now, but I receive my healing,
as a free gift,
because of what Jesus did on the cross. And right now, just see yourself stepping into that healing. You know, sometimes it can be a physical action that we just see with our eyes, but we just see that area being healed. It's our body and our spirits aligning, just seeing Christ moving in our life. So, Papa, would you come right now? Does anybody feel different at all than they did before? If you're able to check, if it's like your ankle hurts or your knee is sore and you can feel it, you can move it. Just check it right now. Yeah. That's cool. I see some people smiling. Holy Spirit, would you just keep coming? Would you keep coming? Yeah, and Father, just on the topic of health, we ask right now that you would help us to make healthy lifestyle choices, Papa. And whatever it means, if it's what we're putting into our body, you stated in Mark that it's not what goes into a man that defiles it, but what comes out from it. So, Papa, you have ordained and you have sanctified everything that we eat, everything that comes into our mouths. And, Papa, we know that some of the food we eat has some, let's just call it some fakeness to it. And so we just pray a cleansing over our bodies right now in Jesus' name. Everybody stick your hand on your stomach. Papa, right now, would you come and would you cleanse us, Father? For everything that we put into our body that it wasn't designed to be there, would you just protect us and would you heal us, Papa? Would you make each one of us whole? Daddy, would you make me whole? Would you come right now? And as we're selecting food, as we're working on sleep, just as we're going through life, Papa, would you keep your perspective of health in our minds? And would you be with us every step of the way as we make these choices? Father, would you help us to be examples like Daniel was? How he was wise, he was beautiful, and he was fit. So, Papa, would you give each one of us that gift right now? Yeah. We're just praying that Daniel blessing over each one of our bodies, Papa, that we would be able to walk in that fullness. And we receive it. And God, I just even ask right now that you would begin to bring strategies for how we can see in our own lives, how we can fit in either physical fitness or how we can fit in better eating habits or more sleep. Daddy, would you walk the real life out with us? We need your help in this area. Each one of us, we all do, Papa. So would you come? And would you be our personal trainer? Would you be our nutritionist? Daddy, would you come right now in each of these areas of our lives? And Papa, while we're being that example, would you anoint our hands? Just kind of hold your hands out like you're receiving a gift. Papa, would you come right now? The same way that Jesus healed every person who was sick because he wanted to see them walk in healing. Papa, you called us to do greater works than you did. So right now, would you anoint our hands to heal the sick, to be that example, to go into all the world just as you described in the Great Commission as you talked about in Mark. So Daddy, would your anointing come? Would you give us occurrences? Would you just come and give us opportunities to talk to people about health and about sickness? And then would you give us the opportunity to heal them, Papa? Would you partner with us, just little old us, the little old us that you predestined before the beginning of the world, that you would help us be your hands and that you would help us be your feet as we go forward from this place? Daddy, would you come right now in Jesus' name? All right, now I want you to just stick a hand on the shoulder of the person next to you. And I just want you to tell them, you can do it. You know what, you can do it. You can heal, you can live a healthy lifestyle. You know, you can walk in the fullness of health, just as Christ designed.
You can do it.
Yeah, and so with that, you know, we're going to get out of here. We're going to start putting away our chairs and stacking up. But you know what? God really designed us to live in health. So we're going to go forward this week and we're going to walk that out. Bless you guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Sam. Please pull up your chairs, get them up against the wall along the side here, and go grab some healthy food to eat.